Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was raised in Detroit and earned a bachelor's degree in accounting and an honorary doctor of law degree from Wayne State University. In 1999, he joined Lear Corporation through their acquisition of United Technologies and eventually became its CFO. And from 2011 to 2018, he was the president and CEO of Lear Corporation, a global automotive technology leader in seats and e-systems. His name, Matt Simoncini. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the former Lear Corporation CEO and a great human being, Matt Simoncini. Matt, welcome and honored to have you.
Thanks, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please?
Absolutely. I had a great childhood. I was born and raised on the east side of Detroit. My parents were also east siders. They went to Denby, so kind of committed to that area of the city. They were there for me. Family was everything, like an Italian family. And I'm still friends with many of the kids I grew up with.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, my dad, let me start with my father. My dad was a disciplinarian and a football coach along the lines of Vince Lombardi. So he believed in sacrifice, hard work, and teamwork. And I learned those lessons from my dad. From my mom, I learned compassion and love and turning the other cheek and maybe trying to see through other people's eyes. And I think the combination, Jack, of the two of them was perfect. I think if it was just my mom, I might have been too soft. And I think if it was my dad alone, I don't think I would have learned the compassion side of it. And that lesson kind of served me well throughout my career. You hear a lot of times people talk about tough love. But the reality is they miss half the equation. Maybe they're too soft or too hard. But it really is a combination of both. And for me, that was the perfect balance for my parents.
I once read a book, A Man of Steel and Velvet. And Matthew, you are a man of steel and velvet.
Thank you.
That's an honor.
Thank you.
All right, speaking of an honor, let's go to 1979. Mm-hmm. Italian family, you're the first one to go to college. And first three semesters, you got a 4.0. Everything's going great. Then there was a bump in the road.
Yeah, I can look back on it now and laugh, but at the time it was pretty traumatic. I was pretty much asked to leave Michigan State University because of behavioral issues and a specific incident that resulted in an assault charge, if you will. I chalk it up to just being immature and maybe not fully understanding and being socialized to what living in a dorms require, if you will. And Jack, coming home and telling my father that I no longer was going to be at Michigan State was pretty scary. And I remember it like it was yesterday when I walked in and he mentioned, you know, he asked me why I was home on a Thursday night during the school year. And I explained that I no longer was welcomed at Michigan State. He looked at me and he said, I'm done raising you and you need to choose the path you're going to pick in life. And there was a few other words in there, but it wasn't angry. It wasn't threatening. It was just explaining to me that, you know, decisions and actions at this age have consequences. And that was incredibly impactful. And at the time, I had soul searching to do because I really didn't know if college was for someone like me. I didn't think maybe kids from the East Side with Italian parents that grew up troweling cement, if there was a future in college for someone like myself. Even though I had good grades, I didn't feel like I fit, and that was a problem. And so I took some time off and went to work in the Eastern Market and went to work in construction, and I really felt at that point that was my future.
All right, but then God had other plans. You go to Wayne State.
Right.
You get a degree in accounting.
Right.
Matt, why accounting?
Well, I wanted to go to work in a suit, and I didn't think law school was in the cards, and I definitely couldn't handle the math to be an engineer. And so I was going down the list of jobs that were available, because I very much knew that at the end of school, I needed to work. And so I was looking at demand for positions, and accounting stood out as in demand. It was a discipline I felt I could do, and it allowed me to go to work in a suit and tie. And so for that, I went into it, and I found that I had an aptitude for it.
All right. From 85 to 90, you're a CPA at Deloitte Touche.
Right.
Talk about that chapter and what you learned.
It was like getting an MBA. One, the support they give you to become a CPA and the certification and the steps that it takes. But more importantly, Jack, it taught me about how business is done, how to handle myself, what to wear, how to cut my hair. I don't have that problem any longer, but at the time I did. And so, and how to be professional in a corporate setting. And so it was very much an extension of my education. In the meanwhile, with Touche Ross, that became Deloitte & Touche, they had a premier book of clients in the city, and it was like the who's who. And so you're getting exposed to places like MBD, the old MBD bank, you know, Chrysler, American Motors, and even the nonprofits were some of the most stellar nonprofits in the region, like Detroit Renaissance, which became, you know, Detroit Business Leaders. So it was a fantastic era in my career, and really was that first foundational block that goes into your career experiences that you can build upon.
We're talking to Matt Simoncini. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the chapter of his life entitled Kelsey Hayes, not the old baseball player. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Matt Simoncini. Matt, from 1990 to 1996, you held various leadership roles at Kelsey Hayes, including some time in Germany. Talk about that chapter.
Well, Jack, I really didn't want to go. And I remember I was playing golf on a Saturday afternoon with my boss at the old Arrowhead or Arrowwood golf course. I don't think it exists any longer. But in any event, he mentioned that there was this role in Europe that was opening up, and he really felt I'd be a good fit for it, but it would require packing up and moving to Germany. And at this point, I really had only been to Europe once in my life, and I really didn't travel that much. And I remember telling him, no, I don't want to go. I was happy. I was on the East Side. I had my friend group, and my girlfriend, who became my wife, lived nearby, and everything was fine, and I was making decent money. And I remember what he said to me, and he said, do you think life begins and ends on the East Side of Detroit? And I really did. And I said, yes. And he goes, well, I got news for you. It doesn't. And it really was this incredible experience of learning different cultures. I knew Italian, and, you know, with my parents, my grandparents being from the old country, but I learned so much more, the nuances of Europe and how the different cultures kind of impact your business decisions. And it was scary, and it tested me. And it was a great step in my career. And again, another building block that you put in as a foundation of your career. And it served me well for many years.
All right, 1996, you leave Kelsey Hayes, and you join this little company called United Technologies Corporation. Please.
Well, I needed a change in scenery. A lot of times with expats and you're in a foreign assignment, Jack, when you come back, the organization kind of swallows the position you left. And so there wasn't a role that was fitting, I felt, in my career. And at this point, I'd had about 5 years in with Kelsey Hayes. And there was a former CFO, Kelsey, who had gone to United Technologies, and he had reached out to me about possibly joining, and I did. And it was another kind of lucky event in that through United Technologies, I was introduced to Lear Corporation, where I ultimately, spent the majority of my career at.
All right. That was through an acquisition.
Through an acquisition.
What's it like being acquired?
Well, it's very much like that one movie where they come swinging from a ship onto your ship and take over. But so there's a lot of fear at the beginning, but you have to embrace it. And I think with Lear, what was great is it was a true meritocracy. And so they just took the best of the both organizations and blended them. It's one of the best examples, I think, of an acquisition and integrating an acquisition that I've seen in my experiences in corporate America. So you go through a very scary period, but if you keep yourself open to different ways of doing things, and the acquiring company is open to hearing different ways of doing things, I think it can be very positive. And in this case, the combination of 1 + 1 actually added up to more than 2. And I think it benefited both the company that was acquired and also the company that did the acquiring.
So when Ken Way and Bob Rossiter said, "We got an accountant that takes 1 and 1, makes it more than 2. We got to make this man our CFO."
Well, I didn't mean it that way exactly, okay. Jack, but I do remember the old saying back in business school where they asked the accountant, "What is 1 + 1? He said, "Well, what do you want it to be?"
Yes. All right, speaking of what do you want it to be, 2007, they make you the CFO of Lear Corporation. You go to mom and dad. They had to be ecstatic.
Well, at that point, my dad had passed away, but prior to that, he had seen me make vice president. And I remember telling him, I said, "Dad, I made vice president." And he said, "Congratulations." And he was happy for me. But then he said, "You've got to stop this stuff, this nonsense. This is not how I raised you." And I'm thinking to myself, did I just tell my dad I'm decided to go sell drugs on the corner? And he felt that I should go into coaching and teaching at the high school level because he believed that football is a maker of men and that as a coach, you can impact the next generation of individuals that come out of the community. And he felt very strongly about that. And he didn't believe that running corporations or being an executive in a corporation furthers the community. It just enriches the individual and not necessarily the community. So I think he was proud of me, but he wanted me to make a pivot.
Well, I think Dad, late Dad, when you're a CFO today or a president or a CEO, right, you are a coach with the transfer portal and with the NIL out there. Okay. You were leading people. All right. Talk about the history of the Lear Corporation.
I could not think of a better organization for me that fit me for a lot of different reasons. They were Detroit kids. This organization went back over 100 years in the city of Detroit as American Metal Products. And it went through a litany of different combinations and acquisitions and divestitures and ultimately became Lear Corporation that we know today. You mentioned Ken Way and Bob Rosser. I'll throw another name in there, Jim Vandenberg. And these three gentlemen created this amazing organization in the city of Detroit and in Southfield. And they believed in giving back to the communities they did business in. And they believed in promoting from within. And they were more focused on your business achievements than necessarily your academic blue blood, if you will. And so it became a very merit-based organization and an aggressive organization. I know you mentioned you know Ken, so you know what I mean. And it seemed to fit me very, very well. And I'm very proud of the organization, and I'm very proud of my role in the organization.
When you were with United Technologies, you were acquired by Lear. Then in your role of CFO, CEO of Lear, you were the acquirer.
Yes, we were. Right.
The easy part, Matt, is having the lawyers and the accountants come together, sign all the documents, decide on the money. The much harder part is bringing two disparate families together.
Correct.
How do you do that?
Well, you focus on culture. I know there's been a lot written about culture of an organization, but it's very true. So while you're doing the X's and O's and which factories survive and which organizations survive and which positions get created and unfortunately positions get eliminated, you need to focus on the culture. There needs to be a cultural fit. And to me, on the acquisitions that we did well, we had a good fit and we integrated properly and the executives were able to see the path and participate in the success. The acquisitions, Jack, that we did that didn't go quite so well, there wasn't a really good fit culturally. And so I always come back to, look, the X's and O's need to work and the numbers need to work, and that's fine, but that's only half of it. You really need to kind of look at the soft side of the business and the folks that will be running it, because at the end of the day, the bricks and mortar are important, but really what makes an organization special are the individuals that work there.
Also the leadership. Under Matt Simoncini's leadership, Lear had phenomenal results. When we come back, we're going to name what they are, and most importantly, how did you do it? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Matt Simoncini. And from 2011 to 2018, he was the president and CEO of Lear Corporation. All right, let's state some facts. Under your leadership, Lear's market capitalization went from $4 billion to $12 billion. Global sales went from $14 billion to $20 billion. Headcount increased from roughly 100,000 to 160,000. You were the Warren Buffett back then, Matt. How did you do it?
Well, I didn't do it. The team did it, and I had a great team. And we worked together. We were family. We knew each other's kids and spouses. And we fought like brothers at times. But in the end, we all pulled together to a common goal and vision. And, you know, Jack, I wish I could tell you that one big thing we did other than teamwork, but it was just a bunch of little baby steps that got us to where we ultimately ended up. It's actually the first time I'm hearing those numbers, to be honest with you, but yeah, it was a great team effort.
Couple more numbers. The beginning of 2013, the stock was at $49. It rose to $175. I think the reason, I've talked to some purchasing czars at the big three, and they say it was because their pricing and their margins were excessive. That's how they did it. Talk about being a tier one, tier two supplier to the big three, Mr. Simoncini.
Well, I don't know if our margins would ever be considered excessive by anybody that invested in the stock. But what I say about being a tier one in the auto industry is the beatings will continue until morale improves. So it's a special business. I think I was well served by growing up on the hard football fields of Detroit and swinging a sledgehammer on construction crews, because at times it was just that difficult. I love the car companies and I love automotive. It's in my blood. and they are in a consumer product that is very price sensitive. So I understand they need to be very, very aggressive. And unfortunately, purchasing organizations are measured by price downs as opposed to maybe a longer term vision. And it's an industry issue that probably needs to be addressed, and it probably needs to be addressed at Lear as well, since we're kind of like a mini car company. But yeah, it's, I'd always laugh when they would ask me, now that the car companies realize they need a strong supply community, we're working together collaboratively. And we have, but you know, the hands-on purchasing meetings were sometimes not pleasant.
How many times, Matt, did a 25-year-old purchasing agent from the big three tell you, you're going to make it up on volume, sir?
Volumes that they don't guarantee. Yes. Sometimes, you know, I never understood like how you can sell more if you're underwater and that helps you. But the bigger issue to me, Jack, wasn't necessarily the 25-year-old purchasing agent. It's the 25-year-old Wall Street analyst that, you know, has an idea on how best to run the company. And that at times could be a challenge. In purchasing, ultimately, if you made it to the highest levels, whether it was Sergio at the old Fiat Chrysler or Mark Fields when he was at Ford or Mark and, you know, Royce and Mary Barra at GM, they understand. It just need, sometimes you just need to elevate the conversation out of the hands of the day-to-day purchasing agents.
Speaking of volumes that they don't guarantee, talk to us from the eyes of the tier ones and the tier twos. This rush to EVs that the big three went to because of the government and other reasons, that hasn't happened. A couple weeks ago, Ford announced shut down the F-150 plant, EVs, unbelievable. What impact has that had on the suppliers?
Well, whenever you have false starts and stops, if you will, that creates havoc and additional costs into the space. Now, at the end of the day, this is a consumer product, and we need to let the consumer pick what they want. My frustration from afar, since I'm no longer in the industry, is that this is another form of an indirect tax. And so we continue to burden our corporations with these fees and excessive costs because we're demanding that they put a product in place that's really not in demand at this point by the broader consumer base. And it makes them less competitive on the global stage. Now, we should be embracing our automakers and developing them because they've provided the engine of growth to this community, including things like artificial intelligence and connectivity. Right. And so I really believe that that was not a great policy position. And you're seeing it now have distress, not only with the car companies, but also throughout the supply community.
We're talking to Matt Simoncini. And he was 56 years old in 2018. Lear's doing fabulous. And Matt walks away voluntarily. He was like the Barry Sanders, the best out there, and he walks away at a very young age. When we come back, we'll ask him, why? Did Mona want him home for lunch? And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Krasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom,
The Little Liar. It's really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Matt Simoncini. At age 56 in 2018, you voluntarily walk away from Lear. Why?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, Jack. It was the right decision for me at the time. Personally, I have a fundamental belief that CEOs sometimes stay too long in the space, and they stay for the wrong reasons. You get trapped by the adulation, by the compensation, by having access to sometimes private aircraft. And so, to me, if you come in with an agenda and a list of things you want to get done and they get accomplished, then maybe it's time to turn it over to somebody else that comes in with a fresh level of energy. On a personal level, I had spent over 11 years in the C-suite between CFO and CEO, and that can be very damaging from a health perspective, not being able to sleep at night and being on the road constantly. And for me, I was burned out. I think we had accomplished what we needed to accomplish in that era of Lear leadership. And it was time to turn the reins over to somebody else with a fresh energy and idea on what the organization should be and could be.
I quote Mike Tirico now. The very best athletes, when their run is over, the dismount is never smooth. Matt, your dismount was smooth.
Thank you.
All right. You love Detroit, Southeast Michigan, the community. So let's start talking about your love. When one door closes, God's got another chapter waiting for you. So when you left in 2018, Mona didn't want you home for lunch every day or any day. Honey, you could be home for lunch in any day that doesn't end in Y. How did you figure out what the next chapter was going to be?
It was hard. It was harder than I thought it was going to be. You mentioned being home. I was home a lot from not being home at all. And so you need to find that cadence with your spouse. That was one aspect of it. Part of it too, Jack, is I needed to get healthy both mentally and physically. And I was able to do that and focus on that. And after that first 6 to 9 months, which were, like I mentioned, much more difficult than I thought, it really has been the happiest I've been since playing junior football in the city of Detroit when I was 9, 10 years old. So it's given me the flexibility to focus my efforts in certain areas. Now, I miss at times the ability to impact outcomes in our community, which having the strength of an organization like Lear behind you allows you to do. And I miss that. And I miss some of my friends in the industry. But overall, for me, it was the right decision.
All right. Since 2013, you've been a board member of the Michigan Opera Theater. And we were blessed to have a man, Dr. David DeKira.
Loved him.
Tell us about him. He was downtown when there was nobody downtown.
In the least likeliest of places, in the most unlikeliest of times, there was David DeKira promoting opera in the city of Detroit. and reclaiming theaters in downtown Detroit when no one else saw the beauty of what that area could be. The man was truly a visionary. He was loving and just a huge supporter of the city of Detroit. And I personally adore David. I thought he was amazing, and I thought his passing was a huge loss to our community.
All right. You got an accounting degree from Wayne State, honorary doctor of law degree from Wayne State. Talk about your alma mater and what it's become.
You know, I am so proud of Wayne State. For me, when I went there, it was the last chance I had at a world-class education, and it provided that opportunity to individuals that may have been working during the day. As time has gone on, it's pivoted, largely under the great leadership of President Wilson, and which is being continued now under President Epstein. But it's become a school of choice, a destination of choice, as people want not only the great academics that it offers, but they want to embrace the urban experience, not unlike an NYU. So it's really just a phenomenal place, and I owe a lot of the success that came later in my life to Wayne State.
A few weeks ago, we had the Honorable Judge Gerald Rosen on, the architect of the Grand Bargain, which happened 10 years ago.
Hard to believe.
Talk about Detroit bankruptcy, the Grand Bargain, and how it affected Lear.
Well, this is our home. This was the home of Lear. And so to me, you know, you have to have strength in the community that you do business in. And I felt an obligation to support the efforts in the community. And obviously the Grand Bargain was a big effort, and it was a big bill and a big ask. And there's nothing like seeing Judge Rosen stare at you and ask you if you can help. And of course we did, and we jumped in. As a community, we were fortunate to have him and Gene Gargaro and some of the other individuals that jumped in at the time. And I think the success we're having now in the city of Detroit, a lot of it goes back to those days.
All right, you say, Jack, it's tough to say no to Judge Gerald Rosen. Well, God's brought you another. This guy's name is Father Tim McCabe, Jesuit. I don't think you've been able to say no to Father McCabe.
Of course not. And who would and why would you, right? He's getting people off the street, and he's doing it in a way that doesn't just warehouse individuals and shelter them. Obviously, that's part of it, but he gets to the root cause of why they're on the street and tries to address those issues, whether it's substance abuse or mental illness or job training. He's into the root cause. He's a one-man show, and it's a pleasure and an honor to support in any way what he's doing at the Pope Francis Center.
All right. Another great person. One of the 50 greatest basketball players of all time. Built Bing Steel, $400 million firm. Mayor of Detroit. And he says now he's doing his greatest work, president of Bing Youth Institute. Talk about Dave Bing.
Dave is such an amazing person. And for someone like myself that grew up watching him and Lambeer play at Cobo Hall, It's an honor to work with him. And what is so great for me is that you meet your heroes later in life, and he turns out to be an even greater man than you saw play basketball because of what he's done in business, what he's done in the community, whether it was stepping in our darkest hour as the mayor of the city of Detroit, or what he continues to do as he gets up in later years. I mean, Dave is 79, 80 years old, and he's still working every day to make sure that these at-risk youth, young African-American men, have an opportunity on job training and mentoring. He puts his all into it, and he doesn't take a penny. This is a man that works tirelessly at a time when most of us would be retired and sitting on a deck chair on a beach.
All right. Let's go back 30 years. Madison Avenue, it was a ghost town with Dr. DeCura. But then there was this other thing called the Detroit Economic Club. Ted Galeri couldn't get people. He couldn't give away memberships. Versus today, unbelievable. Talk about the DEC.
any geographic or major city needs an ability to connect the businesses with outside influences. And to me, the health of our business community, is evident in the health of the Detroit Economic Club. And the fact that they're able to get the type of speakers that they're getting from outside the community to address many of the issues that we're facing, I think is just evident of our standing as a city, as an industry, the auto industry, and all the other kind of extensions that we're seeing here in the city of Detroit and the greater Tri-County area. So this evolution that we've seen is not just the brick and mortar, not just the industry, but it's the cultural, it's what's happening in the city of Detroit is also reflected in the Economic Club.
All right. The late, great Ross Perot. Voodoo economics, remember?
Right.
I quote him now. It's a funny thing about people, in that very often, when they get successful, they quit doing the very things that made them successful. Matt, you haven't done that. You're the same person that Monaco and Lavasco's and all these guys knew on the east side of Detroit. Why haven't you changed?
I don't know if that's true or not, Jack, but thank you. I don't know. I feel in many ways that I am just a person that was in the right place at the right time and was given an opportunity that many others that are just as talented, just as hardworking would have done well with. I just happen to be the person that received it. And so I'm proud of what I've accomplished and as part of a team and what Lear accomplished. But I don't really feel that in any way I was the only person that could have accomplished it. Does that make sense? Do you understand?
No. You might have been at the right place at the right time, but when you got to bat, you hit a home run for us.
Thank you.
So thank you. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.